It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Colts Hidden Killers Investigates. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
There was a stick above the door, not in some rooms, in every room. Multiple former members of the 12 tribes across different countries in different decades described the same detail with the same specificity. A thin, reed-like rod kept above the door frame, within arm's reach of any adult at any time. That is not an allegation that requires interpretation. That is infrastructure. You don't keep a disciplinary instrument in every room of a house unless you expect to use it constantly. And according to former members, that's exactly what happened. Children as young as infants were reportedly struck for crying. Toddlers for not obeying on the first command. And if you ever met a toddler, you know the odds of compliance on the first command are approximately zero. Kind of reminds me of Michelle Duggar with her blanket training and slapping kids with spoons, allegedly. You know, the disciplinary measures of uneducated, dense, easily influenceable, small, pea-sized brains, in my opinion. A teenage girl was allegedly disciplined for wearing her ponytail too high. Another for looking around while she walked inside, or rather instead of keeping her eyes on her feet. Looking around. You're supposed to keep your eyes on your feet. If you look around, that's bad. One child, a boy, was reportedly struck repeatedly for not responding to verbal instructions. His parents did not know he was deaf. They did not discover he could not hear until he was 4 years old. Before then, they're just like, let's keep striking. For 4 years, according to that former member, they thought he was being defiant. He was not defiant. He was a child who could not hear the words being spoken to him. And the community sub-shop cult answer was reportedly the rod. 30 years later, his parents approached him and apologized. According to that former member, they told him it was over the top, it was severe and brutal. This is part two of Behind the Yellow Deli. It's in my opinion, it's allegedly on everything we're saying going forward. In part one, we showed you the front door, the warm smile, the homemade bread, the recruitment pipeline that allegedly turns a meal into a lifetime of surrender. This episode goes behind that door. This is what former members say happened to the children. It's not an episode about whether the 12 tribes believes in physical discipline. They do not hide that position. Their own website cites Proverbs 13:24. Whoever spares the rod hates his child and openly defends the use of a thin, reed-like instrument as what they call an instrument of love. The frame of it is this. It's biblical. It's biblical parenting. They frame it as countercultural, an act of courage in a world that's gone soft. They invite visitors to come and see the good fruit that this kind of discipline produces in their children. That's their public position, written in calm and measured language on a website anyone can read. Sure, the children perform well. Then talk to them. Then find out what's going on in their minds. Do you think abusing them and scaring them into fear of to behave, that was very effective, that worked out very well? Well, it got them to behave when people were looking, which seems to be the ultimate goal of most of our upbringings from our parents. Not actually learning lessons, not actually acting a specific way because it's the right thing to do or motivated to do it. No, it's fear. It's hard fear-based. And they took it, allegedly, to an extreme. What former members describe and what the group's own internal documents allegedly instruct is something that goes far beyond anything the public website actually suggests. The 12 tribes reportedly maintained a document known as the Child Training Manual. Running approximately 267 pages, it was written by Gene Spriggs, the group's founder, a man who notably never raised a child inside the community himself. Here's a guide. Here's what worked for me. Really? You didn't ever raise a kid here? It worked for me. What do you mean? You didn't raise a kid here. It's what I've seen happen and work good. You've never seen anything happen or work good. Here's your manual. I spent a lot of time on it, damn it. Have a turkey and cheese and shut the F up. That's how I view that this might have been going down. I don't know. Maybe something like that. But nobody questions anything in the group, so probably not. He and his wife, Marcia, had no children together. He had one son from his first marriage, whom he reportedly left when the boy was young. And the manual isn't like, leave your children at very young ages. The man who built an entire theology around how to discipline children never did the job. But the manual he wrote reportedly governed the daily reality of every child inside the 12 tribes for decades. I mean, just think of that for a second. If you are willingly writing a manual about something you have no experience in whatsoever, you might be kind of crazy. There might be something not working right up here because there's no sane, reputable, healthy thinking human being who goes, I'm going to write a manual about something I know nothing about and everyone should follow it. No, nobody, no good intentioned, well thought out human being is going down that road. Only sick people do that. Sick, delusional, narcissistic, evil, whatever you want to call it. They're not playing with a full deck. According to former members and investigators who have reviewed copies of the document, the manual codifies when, why, and how to strike children. It reportedly instructs parents that the rod must be used to correct wrong thoughts, wrong words, and wrong deeds, and that you must make it hurt enough to produce the desired results. It states, according to those who have read it, that the stripes or marks from loving discipline, get a little Michelle Duggar in there, loving discipline, show love by the parent. Think about that. It's reportedly a manual telling parents that visible welts on their children's bodies are evidence of love. And it was reportedly written by a man who never had to follow his own instructions because he didn't raise any children. He abandoned the only one he had. Allegedly. The reality described by survivors goes further still. Former members describe being struck 20 to 30 times in a single day. Asking for seconds at breakfast could allegedly result in punishment. A practice reportedly called scourging involved stripping a child and beating them from head to toe. Scourging is what they call it. Let's go scourge you. They take off the kid's clothes and they beat them from head to toe. That's the allegation. A former member described witnessing an eight-month-old baby being struck repeatedly with a stick for 40 minutes by the child's own mother. Another described a 13-year-old girl who emerged from a disciplinary session with 89 welts. A case that became the catalyst for law enforcement intervention in Island Pond, Vermont in 1984. But before we get to 1984, understand the system that made all this possible. Inside the 12 tribes, discipline was allegedly not a private family matter. It was communal. Any adult could reportedly discipline any child at any time for any reason. One former member described the pressure that this created. If you were not disciplining your children visibly and frequently, you were the one who got in trouble. So if you're not doing that to your children, a former member told the Denver Post, you're going to be in big trouble. The community reportedly policed parents who showed too much leniency as fiercely as it policed the children who showed too much independence. This is how you create cult members. This is how you cultivate them from the ground up. This isn't where you walk in, you got to convince a grown-ass adult that this is a good thing, but apparently it happens. This is how you teach a human being that there's no other way. This is it. This is just how people act. Anybody outside, they're completely wrong. Children were allegedly stripped of toys, games, and the right to use their imagination. Play was reportedly prohibited. Make-believe was considered sinful. Children were allegedly put to work in group businesses, the delis, the bakeries, the construction firms, the farms, as young as 7 years old. Again, think of all this shit the next time you get a sandwich at this hellhole. In 2018, the New York Department of Labor cited the group for multiple child labor violations involving a dozen children at their Common Sense Farm in Cambridge, New York. The children were not being raised in any conventional sense of the word. They were reportedly being processed, shaped into a compliant member of a community that required total obedience and punished deviation at the level of a ponytail being a half inch too high or a pair of eyes wandering from the ground while walking. The 12 tribes' own published teachings describe discipline as vital to a child's self-image, arguing that what makes for appalling behavior is a feeling that no one cares about you, not even God. In other words, striking a child is allegedly framed as proof that someone cares. And not striking a child, showing mercy, showing restraint, choosing a different path, is framed as hatred. That is the inversion at the core of this system. Love means pain. Mercy means abandonment. And a rod above the door means someone in this room has not been forgotten by God. Let's go back to 1984. That framework collided with the state of Vermont. A 13-year-old girl named Darlin Church and her father, Roland, reported to authorities that the 12 tribes elder named Charles Wiseman had beaten her with a wooden rod over the course of several hours, leaving 89 welts on her skin. Vermont authorities launched an investigation, and on a single morning, more than 100 state troopers and social workers descended on the 12 tribes compound in Island Pond. They removed 112 children from the community, intending to examine them for signs of physical abuse. A judge ruled the raid unconstitutional, and guess what? Every child marched back to the cult. They say prosecutor Philip White publicly vented his frustration. The first lesson, he said, is that it is still acceptable to beat their children, especially if they have a religious justification for it, because you can justify anything if you throw religion behind it. The second lesson is that we still have not found a satisfactory approach to preventing and addressing these issues when they occurred in closed religious communities. We still haven't to this day. It's why you have a podcaster doing stories about these groups that very much exist that you may go DoorDash from tonight. That's why awareness of this shit is so important. Why we don't just write this off as, oh, it's just their religious beliefs. It's okay. The word God's involved. Jesus is involved. What could possibly be wrong? A lot. I've seen more wrong with groups that cling to that sort of shit and bastardize it than any other group ever. Well, that's not me. I'm not talking about you. Unless you're in a cult. Unless you're doing this shit to your kids. I see so many comments when we talk about cults where people suddenly get very defensive about things I'm not even talking about. You said the word homeschooling. It's not all bad. It's not horrible. It's like, I didn't say it was. I said when you teach from like Bill Gothard's workbooks and don't educate your children on real subject matter, isolate them from the rest of the world, that's horrible and that is abuse. Well, I was homeschooled. Am I talking about you? I'm not. So tone the narcissism down a sec and take a look out here, because that's who we're talking about. And judging by your reaction, I would question exactly what's happened to you two. If you're that defensive about something that I'm not even discussing. Note it in yourself. If you're being triggered by any of this and trying to defend something in your own world, there might be a problem. It doesn't always take it to go this extreme for it to be wrong. And there's a lot of, again, I'm not anti-religion. I'm pro it when it's pure, if you will. And not some bastardized version for the group, for your club, for your denomination, for your sect, for your version of it. That demands control and obedience. And no independent thinking. If that's the group that you're a part of, I'm sorry, you're not part of a religion. You're part of a cult. Ooh. If that's like, yeah, maybe you should look at that a tad bit closer. Anyway. Here is what the state prosecutor found. The state prosecutor, Philip White, publicly vented his frustration. The first lesson, he said, is that it is still acceptable to beat their children, especially if they have a religious justification for it. The second lesson is that we still have not found the satisfactory approach to preventing and addressing this sort of abuse when they occur in close religious communities, in closed religious communities. The 12 tribes, they hailed the decision as a victory for religious freedom. We can do these horrible things to our children and nobody will question it because the Lord said so. And the precedent is set that a communal religious group could allegedly maintain a documented system of physical discipline against children and survive a full-scale law enforcement intervention and still sell subs. Reportedly, This chilled enforcement efforts in the United States for decades, that's partly why the reason they still exist the way they do. Why so many of these groups still exist. We respect their religion too much. It's amazing what you can do when you say you're a religion. You want to get away with shit? Start a religion. That's all you got to do. And it's like carte blanche to anything you want. And a lot of horrible people to figure that out. It's not hard to figure out. It's really not. It just takes a real ambitious individual and a twisted mind. And zero moral scruples. Like, I said it before. I could do it. I know, like, but I have morals. And I have ethics. If I didn't, though, and there's a lot of people who don't. If you got the brain that can do it, you could do it. I think about it like, I could be a pretty good cult leader. I really could. I know the buttons to push. But again, morals, ethics. Why would you, you know? But if you don't have, if there's nothing in your brain firing going, that's horrible, that, you know. But there's plenty of people who see that path and go, whoa, look what I can do here. Yeah. Yeah, you just got to bamboozle everyone and be a horrible human being. The allegations did not stop. They couldn't stop. Can't stop. Won't stop. Because the practices allegedly did not stop. Former members who grew up in the 12 tribes in the 1990s and the 2000s and the 2010s described the same system in the same language. The rod above the door, the communal discipline, the prohibition on play, the manual, the welts, the silence. A former member who left in 2016 after 20 years spoke on condition of anonymity because his family is still inside. He describes a culture where discipline was not just permitted but required, where the social pressure to hit your children was as constant and inescapable as the societal pressure not to hit your children is in mainstream American culture. The entire moral framework was reportedly inverted. Leniency was a sin, restraint was a weakness. And questioning the system was evidence that you yourself needed discipline. Then came Germany in 2013. Hidden camera footage captured inside the 12 tribes compound in the village of Klosterzimmern showed parents systematically canning their children. This was not testimony. This was not hearsay. She said stuff. This was on video. German authorities acted immediately. They removed four children from the compound and placed them in foster care. For caning their children. Caning. The 12 tribes fought the removal. The case climbed the legal system all the way to the European Court of Human Rights in 2018. The court upheld Germany's decision. The ruling found that the 12 tribes promoted a form of institutionalized violence against minors and described caning as inhuman or degrading treatment prohibited in absolute terms under the European Convention. The removal of the children was ruled as justified and a last resort. Two different countries, two different decades, the same organization, the same allegations, the same practices described in the same terms by former members across continents and generations. Germany acted, the European Court of Human Rights backed them up. The United States today does not take an equivalent action at a federal level. They like the sandwiches too much. And the practices, according to former members, continue. Long-term members who have left in recent years say the 12 tribes has made surface-level adjustments in response to scrutiny, reportedly shifting towards a model where parents discipline only their children rather than the earlier communal system where any adult could strike any child. Just beat your own now. But they maintain that physical discipline remains a core, non-negotiable tenet of the faith. It cannot be reformed out of the group because it is the group. Police call logs from 12 tribes compounds in Boulder County and Manitou Springs, Colorado, as recently as 2020 show ongoing concerns about the treatment of children. A 911 caller sent police to the Manitou Springs compound after a young relative who had visited the group reported that children were being kept in a basement without electricity. In 2007, a former 12 tribes teacher pled guilty to two boys in the 1990s. According to the Boston Globe in 2024, a man born into the group in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and once considered a trusted elder, was sentenced to decades in prison for with kids in the community. The pattern is not ambiguous. It's not isolated. It spans the life of the organization. Because when you have an organization that doesn't follow outside standards or checks and balances and the leadership is always right, you get monsters. The 12 tribes frames its approach to children as an act of love rooted in scripture. Their website describes the practice as careful discipline guided by prayer and concern for the child's soul. They publish testimonials from members who describe happy, well-adjusted children thriving in a faith-based environment. Yeah, the cameras, they might be. They invite the public to visit and see for themselves. See, everything's good as long as they look good, as long as they perform well. They're not performing. This is how they are. They're performing. They don't even know they're performing. They're performing. You're performing too. You don't even know it. You just think it's your lifestyle. And then there are the people who grew up inside, the ones who describe being beaten until they bled, the ones who describe being punished for wanting food, the ones who describe watching infants struck with sticks while they couldn't do anything, the ones who carry the marks, physical and otherwise, of a system that allegedly told them pain was love, and silence was obedience, and the rod above the door was proof that God had not forgotten them. The question I want to leave you with is not whether these things happened. The documentation spans decades and continents. It happened, in my opinion. Hidden camera footage exists. A European court has... It happened! It's not even my opinion. It has happened. It's documented. The group's own manual reportedly instructs it. The question is why, after everything that has been documented, filmed, investigated, and adjudicated, children are still inside these compounds, and whether anyone, any institution, any government, any system of law is willing to do what Germany did, or whether the United States will keep sending the children back and you'll keep eating their shitty subs. In part three of Behind the Yellow Deli, we meet a man who wrote the manual. A carnival worker from Chattanooga with no theological training, four marriages, and a scandal. His wife survived, but hundreds of his followers did not. Seems like a great religious leader, doesn't it? Every good religious leader starts with, well, I worked for a carnival. Gene Spriggs built the machine. The machine outlived him. That's next. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. I'd love to get your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. Share this. Let everybody know about this so people stop eating at this fucking deli. And children, stop enduring this shit. If we stop funding them, they go away. There's plenty of sub places, America. This doesn't need to be one of them. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.